Thanks for more than 5 million downloads of Issues Etc. again this year. Please help us reach more listeners in 2021 by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. With 3 weeks left in 2020, we're $135,000 short of expenses. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc.
Now I'd like to take a moment to talk about our faith communities. The holidays are typically times of joy and community. We gather together, we celebrate our faith, and we celebrate with family. But this year, we need to think about what is truly the most important thing. Is it the worship or the building? For me, God is wherever you are. You don't have to sit in the church pew for God to hear your prayers. Worship with a mask on is still worship. Worship outside or worship online is still worship.
That is Virginia Governor Ralph Northam speaking Thursday, updating his COVID restrictions for his state. Those were special words for the faith community. They were also, well, a theological statement. He was making statements about worship for all faith communities, including Christians, that you don't have to gather in order to worship. Is that true? And why is the governor making theological statements? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to respond to some of these worship comments made by Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, Molly Hemingway. She's a Fox News contributor, senior editor of The Federalist, and co-author of the book Justice on Trial. Molly, welcome back.
It is great to be here with you.
Before we get into our subject, a brief update, if you would, on the lawsuits surrounding the election.
Sure. I'm not sure about all of the lawsuits, but I think the two that are drawing the most attention are the lawsuit from the state of Texas against Pennsylvania and a few other states for how they handled their elections, which the Supreme Court is expected to have something to say about pretty soon here. And then the other one is the lawsuit filed in Georgia looking at a bunch of votes that were fraudulently or illegally cast that greatly exceed the margin of victory for Biden. And so that one is considered by most people, I think, to be the most credible lawsuit alleging fraud or other voting problems made by anyone affiliated with Trump. And in fact, Trump filed that lawsuit himself. And so I think people are looking to see what happens there. But assuming that nothing major happens, the Electoral College will be meeting next week to cast votes, and we'll know more at that point.
You say that when people claim the election was rigged, they include both big tech and big media. Why is that important to know?
Well, a lot of times when people are talking about rigging, they might be talking about changes made to allow mail-in balloting and fraud associated with that. But it's also true that it means much more. And part of it is about how the media rigged the election in 2020. By meddling in many ways. And I think the Hunter Biden story is an excellent example of that. This is a story that has been brewing for a long time, that Hunter Biden has made a lot of money from foreign entities, despite no credible skills associated with getting money from foreign entities. And the Senate Judiciary Committee and Senate Homeland Services Committee met, or they put out a report showing that Hunter Biden had received a lot of questionable financial transactions from foreign affiliates, you know, from the wife of the mayor of Moscow, from these Chinese companies. And the media kind of just ignored that story or mocked it. And then when these emails came out showing more of how the Biden family business operates and how they're trading access to Joe Biden in exchange for money from, for instance, Chinese Communist Party linked businesses in China, the media claimed that it was made up and that it was Russian disinformation. When James Rosen of Sinclair Broadcasting broke the news on October 29th, the FBI had been investigating Hunter Biden for money laundering, most media outlets didn't even call to follow up on the story. They knew they couldn't cover Hunter Biden accurately without potentially hurting Joe Biden's election prospects, and so they just made a decision to cover up the story. And that is a really dangerous meddling in the American system, and Americans had a right to know about this issue of how close the Biden family is to some of these entities, and the media just completely harmed the country by not letting a lot of Americans find out about it.
What was your reaction when you heard Governor Ralph Northam, your governor, add a kind of a special comment on his COVID restrictions for believers and religious people for the holidays?
Yeah, Ralph Northam has already been in a little bit of trouble for how he's handled the coronavirus pandemic. He lost a lawsuit in how he had restricted worship. And so I was assuming he would be much more careful about what he did in the days to come. We've had an uptick in coronavirus cases, and so he's trying to push for greater shutdown. And he said, this year we need to think about what is truly the most important thing. Is it the worship or the building? God is wherever you are, and you don't have to sit in a church pew for God to hear your prayers. And, you know, there are things about this that are true. God hears your prayers outside of church pews. But it's not true that corporate worship is non-essential. And he was unwittingly, I think, articulating a very particular theological concept that we hear about in enthusiasm, that God is not constrained by buildings, and so therefore, you know, the Holy Spirit can operate anywhere, and so it doesn't matter where you are. And he didn't understand that it is not his position to be the theologian in chief of Virginia. He is the governor, and he has to honor and respect and follow what he says, assuming it's lawful. He is not a theologian, and he's a very poor theologian, not just for this reason. And he should have not been telling people how to worship or what is important about worship. There are people who share his theological views, but there are a lot of people, like sacramental Christians, who do not.
What I found most striking, Molly, was for him to kind of talk about with a little bit of a preface about the holidays, and these are holy times and we normally gather, but then he said, but now we need to think about what is most important. What did that comment say to you?
Well, that he thinks that what is more important than worshiping God in corporate worship is to be safe in a physical sense, and according to what he thinks. And he didn't really articulate a scientific case for any of this. I mean, churches in Virginia are already practicing social distancing. There are face mask mandates that people are following. Already, Christians and other religious adherents in Virginia have been taking precautions. They care about their flock. They don't want to spread a virus, and they've been doing a much better job of taking care of their flock than these elected officials have been. But I can't even speak. What do you think he was getting at with that?
Well, I was struck by the same tone of it, that, you know, these are pandemic times. So, yeah, it's important for you Christians to do what Christians do, or for that matter, for Jews. He did mention Hanukkah as well. But there are more important things than religion in the world right now. That's how it struck me.
He's no different than quite a few other elected officials in saying this, and they have frequently said that, yes, weed shops are essential, or, you know, other things are essential, but houses of worship are not essential. That is simply not true. For the Christian, there is nothing more essential in terms of what can be operating than these houses of worship. And it also isn't even, you know, I've read this survey from a Gallup. It was a Gallup study that came out this week showing that religious adherents are handling the pandemic much better than others, that churchgoers are handling the pandemic much better than others in terms of their mental health. And it shows us that there is a benefit, you know, for Lutherans and other sacramental Christians receiving the means of grace in physical form. You know, we receive the body and blood of Christ in the bread and the wine. That's important. But also just the gathering together of people, even non-sacramental Christians, the gathering together of people is important. You look at the etymology of, you know, how we describe church as ecclesia, that means an assembly. And that's what synagogue means too. It's an assembly of people. And this is very important. Public corporate worship has always been important. And I'm not saying by that you don't take precautions during plague times. You know, we have a long history of people being careful during plague times and restricting certain activities for a limited period of time. But corporate worship and what we receive in that corporate worship is essential.
The irony here, as you have pointed out elsewhere, is that the state of Virginia actually has more robust protections for the free exercise of religion than even the First Amendment. Talk about that.
Right. When Governor Northam lost his earlier religious liberty case, it was on the grounds of these religious protections that Virginians have that are stronger than the First Amendment. I mean, Thomas Jefferson was not particularly a great religious person himself, but a strong defender of religious liberty. And so this goes way back for the Commonwealth. And it's one of the things that Thomas Jefferson was most proud of, was ensuring that we had these protections. But Northam apparently is unaware of that history.
Could the governor have enlisted the cooperation of religious leaders, as he appeared to want to do, without trying to tell religious people how to be religious?
And I think it's probably, yes, he could have. And it's important to note that he probably didn't realize that he was articulating a very particular doctrinal view that is not shared by everybody. In his mind, church buildings aren't important and corporate worship isn't important. And so he tried to universalize this idea. Hopefully, there are many religious adherents who are explaining to him how wrong he was in what he said, and that he needs to improve his knowledge of the importance of people gathering together in worship. And the religious communities in Virginia actually have been great on all of this, and they have been working hard to serve their people while going through this pandemic and being careful while keeping their doors open. So there are a lot of resources he could use by talking to Lutherans and others in the Commonwealth who have already been practicing the appropriate responses to this pandemic without sacrificing their right to worship.
Your pastor has issued a brief response to the governor that I thought struck the perfect balance. And he does point out several times in his brief response that Christians under his care, including you and your family, do owe the governor the honor due his office, in spite of the fact that he's made these kind of ham-fisted statements about worship. Why is that so important to maintain, Molly?
Well, in Christianity, we know that all authority comes from God, and that even when people are erroneous, we still follow the law, and we follow, assuming it doesn't, you know, completely violate our faith. And we've had to practice this already. I mean, Governor Northam might be most well known for his support of infanticide. He thinks that if children survive an abortion, they should be left to die without care, that this is, you know, something that he has repeatedly supported. You know, we pray for him every week in our church. We pray for our leaders, regardless of who they are, because we do know that the authority they have comes from God, and that we want them to handle their authority well. And so that is something that is encouraged for all of us all the time. In Northern Virginia, where I live, and in our congregation, we have a wide variety of political views, and we are consistent about this, regardless of who is president, who is governor. And it's a great practice to pray for your governor or president or whoever is in authority over you, and not just treat them as political opposition or someone that you want to defeat, but someone that you actually want them to be strengthened in their vocation and do a good job handling their vocation.
Molly Hemingway is a Fox News contributor, senior editor of The Federalist, and co-author of the book Justice on Trial. You'll find a link to her columns at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Molly, thanks.
Thank you.
Church banners, greeting cards, jewelry, artwork, Christmas ornaments, and more. You'll find these items at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com. Adcrucem.com. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Roy Askins, managing editor of the Lutheran Witness. We'll talk about the history of gift giving at Christmas time and the gift of Christmas.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com, OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's almost that special time to unpack your Advent and Christmas ornaments. But there's a problem. Your ornaments are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, the glitter has dropped off, and they are being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. Ad Crucem's ornaments are beautifully designed and lovingly made, right here in Colorado. We offer all the old designs and a whole lot of new ones. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.